Welcome to the Southside Community Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Hahn. We are located at 1815 South P Street in Elwood, Indiana. Visit us on Facebook. The link will be in the description below. Have a great day.
If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, want you to go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to start there with verse 13. And it says this. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that means the dead, those who have died in Christ, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, which are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, listen, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.
Right.
Comfort one another with these words. I better go ahead and read the other part of this I wanted to get to, or I would miss out here. So I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians. This will be the second part of the message. Chapter 15, starting with verse 49. Listen to this. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And it is a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. The work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your help here this morning, God. It's some powerful words that we read this morning. And it's a mystery, God, to us. But Heavenly Father, you put it in your word. You give us it, Lord, so we need to take knowledge of it, Lord, and grasp what is here for us today. We pray for your help, Lord. We need your help. We can't do nothing without you. We ask for your strength today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The last time I preached to you, I preached about Jesus came as a baby in a manger. Amen. And this morning, I preached to you about his second coming. He's coming back again. You can take that to the bank. You can put all your hope and your trust and your faith that he's coming back again. Amen. Yeah. And it could be in our lifetime. Huh? No man knoweth the day or the hour when he'll return. But we know that he's coming. And if we're dead and in the grave, amen, we're going to rise. Huh? And if we are that generation that's alive at his coming, we'll never die. Amen. Never die. Think about that. And we could be that generation. You're right. Amen. Praise God. I thought about this. I want to read this opening note here. When Jesus came the first time as a babe in the manger, it was before our time. We read about it in God's Word. We believed it, and God saved us. But we were no partakers of his first coming. But his second coming, we all will be partakers of that time. We will raise from our graves, or if we are alive, we will be caught up to meet Christ. One way or the other, listen, we are going to be partakers of his second coming. With this great truth in our mind, our world and our lives ought to revolve around this great hope. This great event that is going to take place, amen, as the angels told the shepherds that Christ was born in Bethlehem, the Holy Spirit is telling us, be ready, for Jesus is coming again. Jesus said, in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. At Christ's first coming, it was God's plan for our salvation. At Christ's second coming, it is the fulfillment of his plan for the first coming. And that is, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paul, let me read you a little bit of history just for a minute here about the Thessalonians there, the people at Thessalonica. Paul had started that church and had developed it. People were saved and lives were changed. And they were looking for Jesus' coming back. Everything was fresh. You remember, everything had happened. Jesus died on the cross. He resurrected from the grave. He ascended into heaven. And is at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back again. And the disciples and the people were there. They witnessed all this. So let me read you a couple things here. And I thought how true this is. And we need this for our time. And I know I'll say this, but I'll tell you what, this is the most neglected probably message in the church today that needs to be preached. Amen. Because when you realize the reality of this, that Jesus Christ could come back at any moment or at any time, huh? Or you could die at any moment or any time, huh? This ought to mean something to us. It ought to stir our hearts, man. These people lived that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. The Christians at Thessalonica were lacking in their faith and understanding about their loved ones who had passed away before Jesus' second coming. And they were mourning over their death because they just believed that their loved ones had missed heaven because Jesus had not come back to get them, to get their loved ones that had passed away. They never understood the resurrection of the saints. And they were mourning over the death as the heathen does who has no hope. Amen. O.J. Hawkins wrote this. I thought it was pretty good. I'm O.J. O.S. Hawkins. He said, the early church lived in the light of the return of Jesus Christ. They had been eyewitnesses of his resurrection, his ascension. And when Jesus ascended through the clouds out of their sight, the disciples were told by the angels that Jesus was coming back just as you have seen him go into heaven. They lived, listen, for that moment, for his return. They were not just ready for his return, but they were consumed with it, earnestly and eagerly looking for that day, believing that Jesus would return in their lifetime. It is one thing to get ready when someone is coming to your house to visit. But it is another thing when you eagerly anticipate their coming and their arrival. With this mindset, their faith was strong. They lived their lives soberly, righteously, and godly before God. And Jesus could come back at any moment. Amen. And this guy, I read his story. He was telling, he said, when I was a little boy at home, living at home, he said his aunt would come to their house. She was from another state or whatever. And she would come every year right around Christmas. And he said we would get the house ready for her to come to visit. And he said, you know, it was just a regular thing that we did. And he said, I wasn't really excited about it. You know, it's just, here comes old Aunt so-and-so. She's got that old mothy smell of clothes and everything, he said. But he said he was, you know, it was just one of those things he wasn't really excited about. He just knew it was going to happen. He said then, as he said, he was in college, and his girlfriend, which he married, which is his wife now. They've been married for many years. But anyway, he said, you know, he said, I was in college, and the girl that I fell in love with, she was coming to my house and was going to stay with my parents, huh, until till whatever time expired. I don't know if it was a weekend or what. And he said, you know what? I was so eagerly. He said, I couldn't wait to get home. I couldn't wait and to be with her and experience, huh, us being together, the difference, huh, the enthusiasm that he had between his aunt and his future wife, huh? Praise God. And then he said here, as God's people in the New Testament, he says, as the days turned into months, and the months into years, and the years into decades, and the decades into centuries, the church has lost their anticipation of the return of Christ. Also, It is one of, like I said, one of the neglected messages of the day. Amen. There are signs in our lifetime of prophecy, basically, that has been fulfilled before Jesus' return. And I'm going to tell you only three of them. He mentioned these. He said the Jews that were scattered all over the world are now coming back to their homeland, Israel. That has been happening for quite a long time. Amen. You know, the Jews were scattered all over the world, huh? In the Bible, we read about it. Bible times and even up to date. But now they're all coming back to Israel because it's in the book. It's prophesied that his people will return to Israel, to their homeland. The nation of Israel, and we know this today when we turn on the news, the nation of Israel is the center stage of the world. Everything that evolves in our world is revolving around the country, Israel. It is prophesied that the Bible said that it is what is prophesied in our Bible is happening right now in real time. For the first time in 2,500 years, listen to this, since the days of the Babylonian captivity, the children of Israel are ruling their own country from their own capital, the city of Jerusalem. That has happened and is happening right now. And that's another fulfillment before Christ returns again. Amen. And then I thought about this. This kind of woke me up too, and it'll wake you up. The polluted pulpits of our time. We see that all over, we see this all over today. This ought to wake the church up. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 reads that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And they will turn away from the truth. Amen. And we live in such a day as today. That is. Denominations are dying. Many pulpits no longer preach that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
There are other signs to tell of Christ's return is coming soon. But that is only three of them. Amen. So it's happening today. Jesus' return could be at any time. We need to put that image and that thoughts in our brain and keep them there. Amen. Let me fall back here. And it said here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring back with him. Now I want to tell you something right here. Pay close attention to this. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Here was the whole thing about this was, like I said, they thought that Jesus was coming back, huh, at any time. They lost loved ones. They lost friends. They lost families, huh? They lost neighbors, just like it's happening to us today. Same thing was going on, huh? They had a lot of love for them, a lot of concern, a lot of good friends that had passed away, huh? And they missed them, huh? And they were Christians, but they known, huh? that Jesus was coming back again, and they thought, oh my lands, they have died, and Christ has not come back yet, huh? And they're going to miss heaven, huh? And they mourn, and they cry, and they weep like the heathen that had no hope, huh? But Paul said, no, whoa, wait a minute. I want to tell you something that you haven't heard before. Huh? I want to tell you where Paul got it. Huh? He got it straight from God Himself. The Lord revealed those words that I read to you in Scripture this morning. He said, now wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to explain to you what's going to take place. Huh? Your loved ones, your friends, your family, your neighbors, my friend, that died in Christ, huh? God's not going to leave them in the grave, huh? But He's going to resurrect them out of that grave, huh? He said He's going to bring them. This is one reason Paul wanted to get back to Thessalonica, so he could tell them this news. See, everything was going back and forth with letters. Paul had been in prison for preaching the gospel. Huh? But he wanted to tell them this news. My friend, on one of these days, you're going to be reunited with your family and your loved ones. Huh? I thought about that. I said, how true that is. What a great hope that we have in Christ today. Amen. And I tell you what, they heard that. They heard what Paul had said, my friend, and he explained it to them. Huh? And I tell you what, their hope was restored. Huh? I tell you what, Scripture don't say it, but I believe God, that they had revival, that they were shouting in glory. Just realize it, that one of these days, they'll see their husband again and see their wife again and their child that passed away. Huh? One of these days we're going to be reunited again. Huh? Because the blood that was shed on Calvary. Amen. Amen. The victory that Jesus won for us. Amen. Amen. What a reunion. Huh? Praise God. Hallelujah. It said, huh? When the saints get over there in heaven, huh? And they get ready, huh? To sing the redemption song. It said the angels are just going to have to fold their wings up and keep quiet. Because I'll tell you what, huh? They have no idea the redemption that the Christian, the child of God, has in their heart. They not experienced this, my friend. We've been down here in a world that's full of sin and full of corruption that vexes our heart daily. Yes. They have no idea. But thank God for the resurrection of the saints.
Yes.
And the hope of glory and eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The songwriter said, I'm possessed. Huh? With a hope that is steadfast and sure. What? When did it happen? Since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. And I'll go there to dwell in that city below or above. Huh? Where Christ is. Amen. Hallelujah. Huh? But those that are dead in Jesus, God will bring with Him. Huh? This, I'm telling you the truth. This is sound doctrine. Huh? Your loved ones will not be left in the grave. Huh? For the Lord Himself, Jesus, shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Huh? I want to tell you something, my friend. Huh? The dead in Christ are going to meet Jesus for those who are alive at that time. Huh? Those who are alive at that time, that generation, which could be our generation, huh? The dead in Christ are going to see Jesus first. How they're going to rise first, huh? And be changed. Huh? Paul told them that.
three things are going to happen at that time. The Bible said here, and I don't understand it, but it's in the Word. He said here, He said the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So Jesus is going to say something. And it said in the voice of the archangel, and the archangel's going to say something. And then there's going to be a trump of God. Huh? So I tell you what, I don't know what Jesus is going to say. And I tell you, all the scholars and all the Bible knowledge people probably don't know what He's going to say. But I'll tell you what I think He's going to say. Huh? Rise up, my people, and come out of your graves. Rise up, huh? Good and faithful servants. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Huh? Now you're going to inherit and reap eternal life. Huh? Come on out of them graves. Amen. Hallelujah. And the angel will say, it's time. All things are fulfilled. Huh? The Son of God has returned. Amen. So come on up. Huh? You that are in the graves, and you that are alive, it's time to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. And the trumpet, I don't know what that'll say. I can just tell you this. The songwriter said, and the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. Huh? When Jesus comes back again, huh? You can take your watches, you can take your clocks, you can take everything that tells time, and you can throw it out because it's over with. Amen. Amen. Time shall be no more. Huh? No more calculation. I tell you, me and Ollie was talking about that this morning. We've been on vacation. He's been off, I think he said 18 days. Huh? And we went back to work Tuesday. That's 32 hours, work hours. And I tell you, it was the longest 4 days I ever seen.
Right.
He mentioned that, and he said it's been the longest 4 days. He's been out 18, huh? I thought it's crazy how that is. You think about it. It's still the same time. It's still a minute. It's still an hour. It's still a day. It's still days. Huh? But it's the atmosphere we're in and what we're doing makes the difference. Right. Here it is. I just got off Friday and I got to go back tomorrow morning. Don't seem fair. But thank God I got a job and able to work.
Right.
Amen. Right. Praise the Lord for that. But time shall be no more. It's gone. Huh? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Amen. Praise God. It said then, and then we which are alive and remain, huh, shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And listen to this. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want to tell you something this morning. That's our goal.
Yes.
Huh? I tell you what, all the goals that you set in life, and setting goals is good. I'm not against that whatsoever. I probably should have set them and never did. Huh? That's a good thing. Huh? But I want to tell you what, I've set a goal, one goal, and that's to make heaven my home.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. To make it through the pearly gates and be with the Lord for eternity.
Amen.
Huh? That's what all that matters, my friend. Everything in this life, my friend, is going to pass away. Huh? But thank God, huh, this hope that we possess today, huh, this goal of us will be with the Lord forever. I tell you, that's a great thing to know. That is a great privilege to have down in our souls, that great hope. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, Paul said, take this, huh? Your dead loved ones and your dead friends, huh? Those that has died in Christ, my friend, God's going to raise them up, huh? And I'll tell you, when it happens and they'll be raised out of their graves, huh? And if you're alive at this time, you will see it.
Yes.
You will see it happen if you're there, wherever they're buried at. My dad, when he went out and he bought his grave plots, him and mom went out there and they bought their plots, and the guy that ran the cemetery, they were the same age. They went to school together. His name was Jack. And mom told me this story. You know what? Dad told me that too. He said, I told Jack. He said, Jack, he said, if you're out here working, out here in this graveyard, and the Lord comes back, and the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes back, he said, I want you to look right over here where I'm at. He said, I'm going to raise right out of that grave. I'll be looking to the east. You know, they bury everybody according to the east. For the majority, the grave lays this way. The head is here. The body's laying like this. And that way is east. Why is that? Because it said when Jesus comes back again, the sky will split. He'll come from the east, even to the west. Amen. He told Jack, he said, Jack, just look over here and you'll see me rise out of this grave. You see, that's what Paul was telling him. If you're alive and remain at this time, you're going to see it happen. They're going to go up ahead of you. But thank God, God's not going to leave you there. He's going to take you to. He's going to take you up, and you're going to reunite together in the clouds, and you're going to be with the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. What a doctrine. What great preaching. What great thought that is. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, we ought to do all that we can. To live godly and righteous lives, looking for this fulfillment. It's coming. Amen. Praise God. And he said, comfort. Comfort one another. He said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. And I want to tell you something. It did. I don't know how the word got to him in letters. And it finally got to the church. It got to this church. And that church read the letters. Read what we had read this morning. And they rejoiced. And they shouted about it. And the word got out. And the letter went to another church that Paul established. And they were shouting. They were thrilled. But most of all, they were comforted. Amen. At the graveyard, a couple times, I haven't preached very many funerals, but I use this passage of scripture. Amen. When a Christian dies, when a child of God dies, they're going to heaven. And there'll be a resurrection of the body. So comfort yourselves in knowing this. This is not the last. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then it said here in verse 49, amen. I thought about this. He said, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and not blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. I know I'm coming up short on this message, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend. This old earthly body, with all of its sickness, with all of its diseases, We got two men in this church that's got cancer. All the sicknesses, all the diseases, all the cancer, all the problems that this physical earthly body has, my friend, the child of God is going to get a glorified body. A glorified body, one that was like Christ when he rose from the dead. It says here that this mortal earthly body that you see me in this morning, it's going to be changed, my friend, at Christ's return. And we're going to get a glorified body like Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
There's going to be a change. Praise God. You see, because Paul said that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. One reason is because it's sinful, and it was not made to inherit heaven. So you see, God said no man can look at me and live. Why did he say that for? It's because of all his glory. All his splendor and the magnificencies of who he is. The human body couldn't even take it. And I want to tell you something. This earthly body couldn't handle him. Couldn't handle the glories of it. It's too much for an earthly body. Amen. I want to tell you something. You've got it. You've experienced it. Every once in a while, the Spirit will come upon you and you'll testify, you'll shout, you'll raise your hand. Because why? Because you feel the glory of God and you wish it could stay like that for minutes, for hours, and days. Maybe. You shout about it. You think you heard the song and you raise your hand and say amen. What is it? That's God's glory working in your heart. But just think, one of these days, my friend, it'll never go away. Amen. It will last. Wow! For eternity!
Amen.
Without end! Amen. A new body. I got to quit. Now, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We kind of just talked about this. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. Now listen to this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Think about that. How sudden that is. We blink our eyes so many times during the day, we don't even realize it. It's just a natural thing. You blink your eyes work that way. But in a twinkling of an eye, my friend, this thing's going to be all over with. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something else. There'll never be another chance, for redemption. We are living under the day of grace today. The Bible said, today's the day of salvation. Choose this day whom you will serve.
Right.
Whether it be the God of this world or the God of heaven. But I want to tell you something. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, my friend, whatever you choose will be for eternity.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, I know you all heard about the football player that collapsed on the field. And, you know, he'd probably went for the ambulance, and how they got to him so fast, he would have died. It was good respond, good timing. They were there. They revived him. They brought him back to life. He's healthy, huh? Nothing wrong with him. He's in a lot better shape than he has in this church. Hard telling how long he can run the 15-yard dash. But my son-in-law told me, Jonathan, he's a doctor. He said, I'll tell you what happened to him. I forget what it's called. You guys might know. All right? Your heart has got a rhythm, and it stays in that rhythm. Okay? And in that rhythm, there's a point. I don't know what it's called. He mentioned it. Doctor terms, I can't explain them. But at that point in that rhythm, if you are hit at that time hard, whether it be this hit, hey, it was a pretty good hit, but I've seen a lot worse than that. I mean, a lot worse. Helmets knocked off, my friend. You wouldn't dream they would even get up, but they got up. But what it was, in that heart rhythm, it hit a certain spot, and we all have it, huh? And at that certain spot, huh, when he got hit, it was there, and they flatlined right now. Done. His heart quit beating. That's why he collapsed. He had no control over his body. And the chances of that happen, my friend, is so, it's unbelievable, huh? The chances of that happening. Jonathan mentioned, I can't remember what it was. It's like it never happens. And that's made a lot of sense to me. I watched a lot of football. I like to watch football more than I do anything else, any other sports. Huh? And I thought, why ain't the other guys falling down? Why ain't they, falling down in their heart doing the same thing? Because it's that rhythm. It's that timing. Huh? Jonathan said he's seen it one other time. There was a baseball player. Kid was playing baseball. And they hit it. And he was a pitcher. And they pitched it to him. And he hit it. The kid hit it right back at him. Hit him right in the chest. He said he dropped down just like that. What was it? He hit it at that rhythm. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, everything's going to change. Praise God. That guy, they say he's a Christian. I don't know. That's just what they say he was. But he did thank God. He thanked everybody for their prayers. That God spared his life. He could have been dead. The first thing they said he said when he come back to consciousness, when he could talk, he seen the doctor, and he looked at the doctor, and he said, did we win the game? Did we win the game? And the doctor said, yes, you won the game. You won the game of life. Right. In other words, you lucked out. You lucked out. Praise God. I want to tell you something. Life is fragile. Life is unexpected. Unexpected things happen to us. We never know. But I tell you what, one thing we can count on is God's word.
Right.
Amen. And in the moment, and in the twinkling of an eye, you ain't going to have any time to go mend anything with anybody. You ain't got time to make any restitutions. You ain't going to have time to confess any sins or any wrongdoings. I tell you what, you'll have to do it now while you still have time. Because you'll never get another chance. And I know they preach another gospel. They preach another doctrine that you will get another chance. But I want to tell you something. The Bible said where the tree falls, so shall it lie. In other words, what that means, however you're living in this life, and when you die, whether you're a sinner or a saint, you'll fall to the ground, and that'll be your eternal destiny. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. And he it said here, and this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal put on immortality. And then it said, and when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, shall be brought to then the same, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Praise God. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is that? I want to tell you something. You watch the old westerns? Huh? The old cowboy shows? John's watched plenty of them. Huh? And yeah, I tell you, the guy gets shot and he's laying there on the ground. Huh? And he's talking to him, you know, and saying his last words. Then all of a sudden you'll see him go like this. You know, you'll see him move. I thought, what? That's the sting of death. It's got to be the sting of death. Huh? Oh, death for the Christian. Where is thy sting? Huh? The sting's for the sinner and not for the saint.
Right.
Amen. Why is that? Because the blood of Christ gave us victory over death.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
There's power in the blood today.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And the sting. And he said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Huh? Sin, death would have never came. Huh? If Adam wouldn't have sinned in the garden. Huh? Listen to me. When God made Adam and Eve, huh? He made them, huh? For eternal beings, never to die.
Right.
Hmm? He was going to have fellowship with Him forever. They were going to have children, huh? And death and decay and suffering and not only all the physical things that sin had brought on and all the carnal things, huh? That was not in God's plan. Huh? But I want to tell you, God had a plan, and that was Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
To restore and to redeem what God created in the very beginning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God, huh? And with that sin came death. Huh? I tell you, death's the hardest thing, my friend. Huh? When it comes to death. And we lose our loved ones, my friend. It's so hard. Huh? And yet, hey, another bad thing about it, you really don't know what to say. Huh? You try to say the right words, try to comfort people, but I tell you, it's hard. Huh? But praise God, I'll tell you what. Even though you're sorrow and you're weeping for them and you're feeling for them, huh? But if they're a Christian, yet at the same time, you're rejoicing. They made it. They made it. Huh? On the other side, I know I said I was going to quit. Praise God. Let me read you something here. I thought about this. The changing of bodies. Jesus, when he died, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he defeated them at the cross. And God raised him up in victory. Satan lost, and eternal life was given to all those who believe. Death would have, like I said, would not have entered into the world first. It was sin that introduced death. And with death, with that, sin came all the problems of man, both physical and carnal, which destroy man and causes death. The power of sin was made known to man by God's holy law. And man sees his sin through the law. The law could not provide pardon. Romans 8 and 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak. How? God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, I could quote this, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Huh? That the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in us. Jesus has given us victory over sin, Satan, death, the grave, and hell. Amen. Praise God. I was thinking about this. You know, what is the bodily resurrection about? Now listen to me. Now this might kind of confuse you for a minute. Why do the saints that are dead, listen, in Christ, need to be resurrected when they are already with Jesus when they die? That's a question. Is your head spinning? It'll make you spin. I'm going to give you a couple verses here of what this says. The Christian, just as soon as he dies, and like I said, I ain't got time to get into all this. In 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And in Psalms 116:15, it said this: precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Huh? When you die, huh? And when you die, and I die, and we die in Christ, it's a precious thing in the sight of the Lord. Look it up. Huh? Look it up and you can read it yourself. Why is that? Because we're going to be with God. Jesus told the thief on the cross, huh? That thief looked at Jesus. He believed in him, huh? And the blood, my friend, he was so marred and so cut up and so bruised up and so tore up, huh? And that thief looked at him, huh? And he believed, huh? He believed that he was the Messiah, that Jesus, he was a wicked old sinner, my friend, huh? And had no thought, didn't even have any idea what religion was. But I tell you, he looked in the face of Christ and he said, remember me. I'm dying here. I'm dying with you. He said, but remember me when thou comest into my kingdom, in thy kingdom. Jesus turned to him and he said, today you shall see me in paradise. Praise God. Listen, I'm telling you and preaching you a truth. Huh? Jesus said, you'll see me today in paradise. I can't explain all that to you, but I believe it as a child of God, as a child believes in their parents when they tell them their words. Amen? We can't explain everything, church, huh? But we can believe it. Amen? Today I'll see you in paradise. Why? Why then a bodily resurrection? The answer, Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection of the saints. He was the first one to die in a physical body, and in that same physical body was raised back to life again. Listen, never to die no more. The spirit, listen, never dies. But the physical body dies. And when Jesus rose from the dead in that physical body he had, it was turned into a glorified body, a heavenly body that will never die. Huh? And will never perish and is fit for heaven. You get that? That's what we're, all the reading this morning is wrapped up in that. Amen. Fact. Listen. Apart from Christ's bodily resurrection, we have no Savior. We have no salvation. We have no hope of eternal life. As Paul said, our faith would be in vain, useless, and the life-giving power of the gospel would be altogether eliminated and of no good. It would be just another religion of the world. But thank God, for the bodily resurrection of Christ. Amen. That set the example for you and I. For you and I, my friend. Amen. So the question is, another question is, and you don't have to believe me, and I know a lot of people disagree with me on this subject, but I don't care. I just read it, what a guy had happened to him, and he had scripture to back everything up. I know that's a mystery. All this is a mystery, and I understand that. But he was talking about, I told you his story. He lost his wife and child and was so broken over it, he couldn't understand it. He knew that he was a righteous man. He knew the tragedies of life had hit him. And he just could not get over it. Listen, my friend, listen. One day he had his wife and child, and the next day he didn't have neither one of them. They were gone, killed in the storm. Gone. Their bodies weren't even found. Couldn't even have no funerals. They were gone. Never to see him again. And he dug deep in God's word. He mourned over that. He prayed over that. And he searched the scriptures diligently to find out what had happened to his wife and his child. What does the Bible, what does God's word say? This is all my hope is in God's word. Surely he'll give me an answer. He'll show me what's going on. He said there's three bodies that the Lord gives. Amen. He said it's this earthly body that we're living in today, which will perish and be gone. We get a kind of a heavenly body. He didn't really explain all that, but he explained the scriptures. He said, we get a heavenly body that will change, and will be with the Lord. Amen. In heaven. The scripture backs that up. The thief went somewhere. He seen Jesus the day after his death. That's what the scripture said. Peter, James, and John seen Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Moses had been dead for 1,400 years. But he seen him. They seen him. There's proof. And then he said, the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of the saints, which we preached on this morning, is that glorified body that Christ had when he came out of the grave. Do you remember that? He went to his disciples. And he told his disciples, he said, feel me and touch me. He said, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Hear me? He said, feel me. To show you to feel me. To show you that I'm real. I am the Christ. You're not seeing some spirit or some ghost. But you're seeing Jesus, who was crucified, that was dead in the grave, that rose again. I want to tell you something, my friend. You listen to me. And I don't know where I got this phrase, but I found it when I was studying. You bury bodies, okay? You bury bodies, but you don't bury people. How true is that? Huh? Because the eternal soul lives on forever. Yes. The eternal you will never die. It'll spend eternity in heaven and in glory, or in a place called hell, in damnation and torment. Amen. You pray for me. I want to try to preach a message tonight on the value of a soul. Amen. Well, I forgot to mention that. We'll have a service at 5 o'clock this evening. But anyway. I know it's a mystery and it's hard to understand. But I want to tell you something. My dad told me a long time ago. I never did hear my dad preach on prophecy. I never did hear him teach in Sunday school on prophecy. And all this, because he really didn't understand it all. And I want to tell you something. A lot of your scholars don't know it all either. They think they do. They think they got it down. And they got the events that are going to happen right up to the minute it happens. But I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said, he told me this. He said, don't get caught up in things that you really can't understand that are mysteries. It's fine to look at them in the Bible and try to understand them, try to study them, but don't get caught up. Don't get down. He said, the main thing you got to do is be ready for the coming of the Lord. That your heart is set on the scriptures that we read this morning. That Jesus is coming back in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. That quick. Praise God. Let's stand this morning. Praise the Lord. I just want to give up a moment. Anybody got anything on their heart? Anybody would like to pray? The Lord spoke to you. Amen. You're always welcome to come to the altar. Pray. Amen. Let's just take a minute. Close your eyes. Think about the message this morning. Think about the great truths. Amen. The Lord is coming back. And am I ready? Am I ready to meet God? Am I ready to spend eternity with Him? Or am I lost? Is there something in my heart that's holding me back? Something in my past, something that I've done, as some kind of habit that I can't get over, some things that are not right, and I know they're not right, and the Lord spoke to me about them, but I can't give them up. Anything. Amen. Think about that this morning. Praise God. The Bible said, what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then the second part of that is, what shall a man, that person, give in exchange for his soul? Oh God, there's power in the blood this morning. There's power in the resurrected Christ that can give you the power to overcome whatever you're going through. God had sent Jesus to save us and to convert us and to change us and give us the power to choose Him. A power that we're not able to change ourselves, but He can do it.